You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776, the number. David says, I listen to you guys, not for myself. Your persistence to performing at a top level has made me want to be a better listener and not just some individual me guy. Hashtag team pride. Or it's just background fodder. One of the two. Yeah, that's probably.
No, I like the first one.
Yeah. Jackie says, this topic sounds serious, so I apologize, but I didn't hear a single word after that dude got paralyzed falling off a ladder. And LZ, what did he do? Fell off a ladder.
I also battled through it.
There's the common denominator.
I battled through it and was heroic in my efforts to get back to the show.
Heroic? How so?
Got back to the show. Despite the fact that my arm would slip out of socket in the middle of a segment, you know what? I fought through it. I didn't pack it in and say, oh, no. Too dangerous. I just kept going.
Too dangerous to sit down and talk?
Yeah, that's right. Oh, it's too dangerous. I continued to sit and talk with a pillow underneath my elbow. Like, wow, what kind of hero is this? Because most people are not able to fight through this and put a pillow under their arm to try to get it to the perfect height so it won't slip out of socket. Welcome, America.
When you didn't really go to PT, or was that heroic as well?
I went to PT. I had to stop for a little bit. But
Why?
I went to PT. I think because I had too much draft stuff to do. I couldn't take time to go out. I was there yesterday. Dude. April crushed me. It was like a workout. I'm like, hey, this isn't physical therapy. My shoulder's actually in pretty good shape right now. It's you wouldn't really
Other
than some range of motion.
No.
But you know what she had me? I was on a bicycle doing like hardcore biking stuff. Okay, go as hard as you can for 30 seconds. Okay, now we'll do this interval training. We're doing curls. We're doing that. I'm like, oh no, is she gonna make me start doing box jumps and plyos? Like I don't want my heart rate to get too high. I could hurt myself.
What's her name? April?
April, yeah.
Is that the...
She's an Aggie, and she is not happy about Texas coming in.
Oh. Who's the one who was the ridiculously attractive person you were having, like, Zoom conversations with? What's her name?
That's your nutritionist. I met with her yesterday.
So you have a trainer and a nutritionist?
You did both yesterday?
Yeah, I went and got physical therapy.
Physical therapy and your nutritionist?
I'm in the greatest shape of my life right now.
Well,
it's not true.
It may take a couple times, maybe more than one day of seeing them.
No, I've been seeing April for a while. So seriously, Plex, great physical therapy. And you know who I see? You know, like I saw Marcus Hunt is still in there. Rashard Lewis comes in every day. Jake Matthews. Marcus I was Hunt working from, out next to
SMU.
Yeah. He's a free agent right now. He'll get a call at some point. But you see athletes in there all the time. It's kind of wild.
Right?
Yeah, like real athletes.
Real athletes, not like us. Athletes.
People like us. Vanessa Richardson used to go in there from Channel 2.
She did.
She worked out in there, yeah.
So speaking of Texas and Texas A&M, Paul Feinbaum had some thoughts on this. Do you have the sound or is it just the story, Del? It's just the story? He says this, Paul Feinbaum. He says, let's talk about the Aggies for a second. If you had just told the Texas A&M president who knew, and then the Texas AD, here's the deal, Texas is coming. I don't know how it could have been contained. I'm guessing what they told College Station was, yeah, we've heard from Texas, but they're probably talking to everyone else. No big deal. I don't know there's any other way you could have done it to keep it under wraps. Let's face it. Texas A&M was lied to. There is no doubt about it. Feinbaum says containment was the key to this. I still don't know the whole story, but we know a bit more than we did a couple of days ago. I still don't know how many people on the SEC side heard about it. I was somewhat bold early on saying the commissioner likely consulted everyone. I think he did, but in a way that he didn't tip the balance. Listen, Texas A&M had to get on board. Texas A&M should feel slighted by the league. Texas A&M... Guess what? You're a newbie at 10 years old in the SEC. Guess what? It's best for the conference that you dominate it. It is going to change the landscape of it really is going to change the landscape of college football. If in fact, okay, you guys, I'm almost convinced now that this 12-team playoff is going to be put on hold for some time now.
Well, I agree with you because there's just too much. Number one, I don't think there was the what we're seeing from a lot of teams. I thought North Carolina's was interesting. They didn't want a lot of these teams think 12 is too much and that 8 is the most. And then North Carolina was like, no, it should be 4. Like North Carolina, there's no, this 4 is the most. I know Clemson has been down on too many, but with all the movement right now, I think it's
maybe North Carolina's just agreeing with Clemson just so Clemson won't leave the conference.
I don't think that's what
Hey, now you have to say everything. We agree with everything Clemson
said. They said this 6 weeks ago. So,
and it was the players themselves.
It was the players who said it, which I was surprised. I've always been, I'm a big believer in, there's never 8 teams that are, usually there's 3 teams that separate themselves over the course of a year. Rarely have we seen 4. The 4th team is usually, they're not a slappy, but they usually get beat up pretty good.
Even still, it's usually 2 teams because the semifinals suck every year.
Well, we've had a lot of 3s. I mean, Oklahoma was a legitimate 3rd team.
Yeah, I guess Georgia was a 3rd.
Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama, Georgia. If you go through, because I did this as an exercise, there's usually 3, and then you got, I guess, Notre Dame 4th? Seems like I said that multiple times, but... there's usually 3 teams that you say, okay, they're head and shoulders above the others. I do think it kind of lessens everything when you start adding other teams, but I'm willing to go 8. I like the idea of 8. I don't know if they'll go 12, but to your point, John, and I don't know if this is why you're making it, but there's so much uncertainty right now with conference realignment that's probably something you want to wait on until you get realignment done, because when you do this, you're going to guarantee certain things. You're going to say, okay, these are our bylaws, these teams, this many teams from a conference, this, but you can't do that when you don't know what the hell a conference is even going to look like in the next 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you agree? So you still think the Big 12, I'm kind of with you now. I'm starting to think the Big 12.
Okay. Disintegrate.
So the Big 12, so it is a rule. It is a rule that the Pac-12 cannot take Christian schools. Did you know that?
No.
So this guy from Baylor, who was in at Plex yesterday, I want to double check on this. He's got his Baylor shirt and everything. I guess, is it a rule that the Pac-12, that a quote-unquote Christian school cannot be admitted into the Pac-12?
I didn't know that.
Well, all the schools are Christian, but religious school.
Okay. Yeah, is that accurate? Because if so, because we were talking about Baylor. April was talking with him about Baylor, and he was under the impression that Baylor couldn't go to the Pac-12 in terms of joining into the Pac-12. Now, if they created a separate conference, and I think that's the key. If you, it would have to be the Big 12 not joining the Pac-12. They would have to create a new conference with new bylaws. If that were the case, if that's actually accurate, and would they take everyone from the Big 12? Like, if they created a new conference, you could conceivably get rid of some of the schools in your own conference if you're the Pac-12. If you wanted to say, okay, let's get rid of Washington State. I think that's easier said than done because most states are going, unlike Texas where everything is, you know, you have big, giant factions at A&M at Texas. In Washington State, they're going to fight equally hard, I think, for University of Washington and Washington State. They're not going to just, Oregon State, I don't think will get left behind because they only look out for Oregon, and they let Oregon State fall by the wayside. I don't think that's going to be the case with most of these states that have 2 state schools in them. But I also I'm sitting here like, man, can you add every team left from the Big 12 to the? That's just not feasible. I think some of them would have to go to the Big 10, and some of them I would think they wouldn't find value in. I would think some of them just don't
like. There are a lot of these schools that you don't find value in.
And the Pac-12 doesn't appear they have a written rule. It's just an understood thing that they have an aversion to private religious institutions.
Yeah, it's a position. It's not a rule that I see here.
It's a position.
It's a position.
Well, there was a position that stated that Texas A&M would be able to have say-so if they ever wanted to get Texas in, and that position was trampled over.
Yeah, well... And this is why I think university...
We had a handshake agreement. I don't know anything about this handshake agreement. Good day, sir. That's a Texas.
Well, that's what Sankey said. I didn't shake your hand.
That was the previous eight commissioners ruling.
He shook hands. I never shook your hand, by the way.
If it ain't written down, then you can't hold me to it.
Yeah, no.
Is my hand dry or sweaty? You don't know, do you, sir? Because I never shook your hand. Good day, sir.
If you want to know the truth, this is why I think the University of Houston is more attractive than any of the Big 12 schools that remain. You've got a big market. You've got a school that has a huge recruiting base that you can dip into. All the Pac-12 schools can dip into Houston, and you've got a publicity for all of your schools in a big market. Oh, yeah, Oklahoma State maybe is a bigger program, but what is attractive about grabbing Stillwater as opposed to the television market and the recruiting base that Houston is? Houston, to me, is much more attractive than any of the Big 12 schools that remain. And yet, still, I don't know. There is some kind of Texas and Baylor have put some kind of stigma on the University of Houston that it just is. I don't get. Maybe. And you know what? You got to expand the stadium because 40,000 isn't going to be enough for a Power 5 conference. But I don't know that all of that is doable. Tillman University, let's go. Pick it up. Bigger stadium. Let's go. Tillman U. Let's go. 814 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Back to our Astros on the other side. Losers last night. Losers all the way around because of Major League Baseball. When we come back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Jordan crushes one towards the scoreboard. Oh, my goodness. 12 rows into the second deck, the big man. It's a two-run home run. And just like last night, Astros down four in the ninth. Get a two-run home run.
Too little, too late. Now, that's another late-game home run. It didn't help lead toward a win. What are you doing?
I was looking at the video you sent. I can't focus on Jordan. Where were you? That's not you.
That's me.
What is this? Yeah.
I was at Pierre Bourne concert last night.
You were at what?
Pierre Bourne. He's a rapper.
What were you doing at this concert?
I was at the concert to see the concert. What do you mean? Yeah. What does anybody go to a concert for?
He's surprised that you would make an appearance at that particular concert.
What were you at this concert for?
Because I went
What
to
was
the
this?
Concert.
Did they give away championship rings or something for the Astros?
No, there were no championships.
Was there free pizzas?
You want to play some of the music from it, though?
Sure.
I mean, I guess. It was you got
What
I don't know,
were you doing
you
at this concert?
Cuz they said the B word a lot and doing stuff and
a rap song that says the B word?
It was pretty simple lyrics.
Oh, you think?
Know. Yeah. Skirt, shirt.
Did you hear like burr, burr? Did you hear a lot of that?
Yeah, it was it was the lyrics were not exactly
skirt and shirt.
They skirt and shirt.
I'm gonna take off my shirt and, while you take off your skirt.
And, yeah, and then I don't chest and there was stuff.
And
there
then the text I didn't even see these. How many of the people tonight? How many people here tonight played golf at their golf club like I did? Probably zero.
No, I was the only one. I was the only one there.
Need to see your fit, said Raheel, and you. Showed your shirt. You wore your Kiss My Asterisk shirt.
That's right. I wore it to the show. You got to wear a dark shirt, okay? And it's got to be a T-shirt and jeans, and that's what I did.
I'm going to see Jason Isbell in 400 unit tonight.
Well, there you go.
And then we'll see in Red Rocks, go see Wilco. A little different than what you saw.
So, look, you want to be like me, that's why they
stalking me. I was in a Johnny G, I was with the animals, you see.
This was so. I wanted to talk about this a little bit. This is like your conversation about the Olympics thing, and I just felt like this guy was. It's not about the team. It's not about the people that came out. It was he did 1 hour. And he sang the same song for an hour.
It wasn't the same song. Well, it sounds like the same song.
No, it actually, I think it was the same song.
No, there was probably 8 songs. They all sound alike.
The same. It was the same.
Yeah.
And
yeah, welcome to...
Welcome
to hip-hop in 2021.
The crowd would get... And like they were all 15 seconds long. It was like... And then it stopped. It was so unconcert. See, I've been to a lot of concerts in my life. And it's usually the band will bring you to a crescendo.
Okay,
at
when
the
you
end.
Say band and hip hop, you immediately lost.
Yeah, I mean they put very little into this. There was nothing on the stage, zero, nothing.
Did at any point
it's,
to the end?
It's a moneymaker. Let me tell you this: he did 1 hour, and there's no the microphone. That was it. That's all he needed. And they started to get into it, and then stopped.
Is this
and
it was a very weird thing.
Is this was a selfish lover, if you want to know.
Is this the banger that you were really there for? Turn this one up, Del.
Yeah, and everybody there seemed to know the words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you end up there
and
again?
And they liked them. I went to the show.
Well, did you just say, where's a good hip-hop concert I can watch tonight? And you just found tickets and you ordered them off
SeatGeek? No. It was at Warehouse Live.
Okay.
So I went with Justin.
Got a connection.
Okay, but...
Justin owns Warehouse Live.
Now, this still really isn't answering my question. How did you end up at
this?
Justin said,
you want to go to the show. He brought his son and a friend and his son, and he said, you want to go to the show? And I said, yeah, I'll go.
Why would you say yes?
Why wouldn't I say yes?
Because you don't know this guy, you don't know the music.
This is why.
Listen to the music. Does this sound like?
Yeah, no, yeah.
I mean, it's literally they're auto tuning the auto tune.
Well, and here's the thing: is the young men, Justin's son, Jace, they're both going into two kids. They're going into high school, and I was like, "What about this guy?" And he goes, "I don't know. I really don't like his flow." And I was like, "Yeah, me either."
See, why were you there if you didn't like his flow?
Well, because. I just wanted to see for myself. Although we all thought he's better
to see for myself.
We all thought he was better in concert than we thought he was going to be.
Oh, well, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Even though I thought he was very selfish, he did 1 hour. He was looking at his watch. The hour was up. He was like, "I'm out."
There's only so many songs.
And
that
then
guy
everybody
has.
Just left. And I was like, "This is not like a concert." Usually, it's you lather him up into a frenzy at the end, and they want you to come back.
Can I ask
out.
You a question?
One more song. He didn't get any of that.
Nothing.
Are you familiar with the short attention span generation that we have now?
I guess.
Do you think that they want one more song? They're all trying to get their ride shares and get the.
Uber, Lyft. Look, Justin has a...
There's my hour. Boom. I'm gone. That's as long as you got me.
I'm going to be at Justin's, that place. I was going to say Justin's place, but it's Warehouse Live, which he runs.
You're watching Doug Benson?
No, I'm not doing that. In October 14th, I think, is the show. It's been canceled a couple times because of COVID and stuff. The show I'm going to, they will chant one more song because it's actually a rock band, so they still do that at those shows.
Yeah.
At Pierre Bourne, it's like, one more song. I just did the same song 3 times.
I don't have more songs. You guys know that.
That's it. You want me to play the same one again? Yeah.
Every day.
Play that one again.
If you were a hip-hop artist and you had a lot of auto-tune, I would love it if you made a song called Gravy. Because you could say everything is gravy, but it could really get back to the play
with
on
the basil in the gravy.
Yeah, you could talk about that, but you could call mixing up the gravy, which could be like a double entendre about something about a woman. You could use gravy. Your phrase gravy could mean so many different things, but you could always bring it back to I'm mixing up my gravy, and it could be a hook. Mm-hmm. Like you could have a hook about gravy, but I think it would be a banger if somebody would put that. Like Michael Carroll actually makes beats. Do you know that?
No.
Oh, no, 100%. I guarantee you that if you went in there one day.
Should I do a gravy song?
I think you should do a gravy song. Let them auto-tune it and let them put a little something. I like the.
Just a pinch of salt.
Yeah. Yeah, my gravy.
Yeah, and you already got this guy's flow. Just a pinch of salt. It's already there.
He kind of bored gravy. Me a little bit. I was like,
of
this
course.
Is
it's hypnotic.
There's no octave. There's no different octave. It's the same thing.
No, there's only a 5-note range, 4-note range.
It was the same. I mean, he puts very little into it. It makes a lot of money.
What about this one? This one's another banger that I think you like yesterday.
This one's called Groceries.
See? Oh, yeah, I buy the groceries. I get the bread and I get the eggs.
Listen, this is Groceries. That's what I'm saying. You could have a song called Gravy and it would be a monster hit. I don't think it's going to be hard to write.
There's nothing that was hard to write. Yeah, I'm telling you. Find the skirt and shirt one. That's all he kept saying over and over.
Okay.
Skirt and shirt and skirt and shirt. And he kept saying it over and over. And I was like, all right, well, you're kind of lazy.
I mean, we get it. Look, you sent the video, a couple videos of what Mr. Pierre Bon was doing. And I thought to myself, this guy's low energy.
It's really low energy.
And everyone, I could see everyone with their phones up doing whatever.
The whole place had their lights on their phone, their arm in the air, and they were trying. And then, and everybody, when this song started, they would all go like this, and then everybody just stopped.
Then they realized.
And then, yeah, it's really not a banger.
Yeah, what are we doing here?
Is this hour over? They're all looking at their watches, too. Like, is this?
Man, I swear to God. And he just said, all right, bye. And everybody just left. And everybody just left.
Once again, what were you doing at this show?
He wanted to have a good time, I guess.
Honestly.
Yeah. I wanted to see what his flow was about.
Hey, when we come back,
I tried to start a conversation.
It didn't work because you went to see a banger. You said you went to a club.
Yeah, I did.
I am going to.
Well, you're the one that just found it. I sent it to you last night. Wait a minute, what is this?
I was like, how did this? None of this makes sense currently in this string. I am going to go see a guy who has legitimately about probably 150 songs. There is a chance this concert will last about 3 hours.
Yeah.
And I actually have seen Jason Isbell in concert before. But I think his songs will be a little bit more in-depth than Groceries was.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
There were Coors Lights involved. Yeah, yeah. Yes.
Well, we knew that was part of it. But
when
we do come back, there is some sad news in the Houston sports landscape that we have to report.
Yeah.
We need to get to that. If you haven't heard, it's going to it'll be a crusher for those of you who have grown up here in the city of Houston. Really, really bad news that we got yesterday. We'll get to that here in just a second. You want to keep it right here on Sports Talk, or rather on Sports Radio. What are we called? ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Right.
And, of course, you can also listen on our app. Just search ESPN 975, and you can catch us anywhere you want at any time from the app.
Right now, though, I got to talk about my peeps over at Chesting Ford. I'm telling you, I just cannot endorse enough the people that you're dealing with, their philosophy, their attitude, their honesty, their forthrightness, their everything about it. I mean, and because Patrick, honestly, one of the first things that he told me is he said, make sure that you tell them, because this is not the case at the other dealerships. Make sure that you tell them they can do everything online, because we're not going to add anything on. You have to go to the other dealerships because they won't let you do it all online. They want you in their dealership because they want to upsell you. They want to get you the bed liners or the sunroof or whatever it is that you didn't order, because they have to add on. They want more money. They got to make that sticker higher. They got to do everything they possibly can, and they just don't do that at Chastang Ford. They just want you to get in the vehicle that you want at the price that they can work with Ford to get you the best price possible. So this is what their philosophy is every single time. You're looking for that Ford car or truck, there's one place to get it. It's at Chastang Ford. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. Or you can do it all online at ChastangFord.com.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com.
is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
A little audible being called here. It's 8:31 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I know we teased something. We're calling an audible because we have a new play.
We can pay off the teaser. It's not very long. It's just sad news. But J.R. Richard, at the age of 71, passed away yesterday. Apparently, I guess it was COVID related. He was unvaccinated and it was COVID related. We know that J.R. Richard has had some tough. He's had a tough go of it since his time with the Houston Astros. Of course, he had a stroke while he was playing. He was at his peak when he had a stroke as a pitcher. This is a guy who was absolutely dominant and super intimidating. Of the big four, and granted, two of these guys weren't here, haven't been here that long, but let's say the big four, I'm going to call it Justin Verlander, Nolan Ryan, Randy Johnson, who was less than a year, and J.R. Richard. Those are four intimidating pitchers. I would say the last three, J.R. Richard, Nolan Ryan, and Randy Johnson, they would probably hit the top 10 of any list of most intimidating pitchers all time.
Bob Gibson.
Bob Gibson's the first guy I think of. When you think of intimidating pitchers, J.R. Richard, Nolan Ryan, and Randy Johnson, because not only did they all throw extremely hard, but there was enough they had, well, especially Nolan and the big unit had some edge to him where you never knew where that ball was going. But J.R. Richard was a little bit wild, which scared some guys. I'll never forget when he threw 101 miles an hour in the All-Star game and Steve Stone is batting. And they're playing like in Montreal and they've got the, you know, that where the sun's going down and there's like a, you can't see the ball. The ball's coming from the shade into the light. And so the hitters had no chance against J.R. Richard. And Steve Stone, the pitcher's up there trying to hit. And it was just so funny to me to watch that. But
dude, I didn't grow up here, obviously. I thought, man, J.R. Richard is one of the greatest,
like 6'7",
most. Watching him pitch, it was like, holy crap, this dude is scary. Mm-hmm. Scary the way he threw it up there. Yeah, Bob Gibson, Randy Johnson. Remember John Kruk turned around in the All-Star game against Randy Johnson and put his helmet on backwards and was just like swinging.
He wanted to lighten things up with Randy Johnson.
He was scared.
But here's the thing is that I would say the Astros at one time, they have had three of the most intimidating pitchers in the history of baseball. J.R. Richard, Nolan Ryan. J.R. because he's all arms and legs. He's 6'7", and his stride was so long that he was literally on top of the hitters with his fastball. And he threw hard and just wild enough that it made people super nervous. Randy Johnson, we know he wasn't a longtime Astro, but extraordinarily intimidating. Nolan Ryan, one of the all-time intimidators ever in any sport. So it's interesting that we had them all, but you know, sad story with J.R. Richard. His career was cut short because of the stroke. He was homeless at one point, and there were stories that were done about that. And now J.R., an Astro great, passes away at the age of 71. So a bit of bad news on that front. Wanted to share, but also just share a little bit of memory. We'll hold on Gilbert. He's probably got 15. Mm-hmm. Something happened with Gilbert the other day that I missed that people said, Lance, did you hear? They really wanted me to hear something about Gilbert and a Metro bus driver. And I don't know what it was. I said, I'm not sure I should hear this story.
Yeah, you should. It may paint Gilbert in a different light or confirm some of your suspicions.
I have no suspicions.
No, it wasn't.
I have no suspicions.
If I told you, this couldn't have happened?
That's what I'm saying.
What are the odds?
Pretty good. Lance, if I suggested to you that at some point Gilbert had an issue on a bus with exposing himself to a driver, would you be surprised or think, that probably happened?
If it happened in the 80s, Gilbert said that was his dark time.
Yeah, that was a dark time for him.
If it happened in the 80s, then that's a little.
Yeah. No.
A little different.
No. Anyway, so we'll get to Gilbert. Will call back. Aww. But right now,
what if he's exposing himself to someone again?
Hey. No, he's not exposing himself.
We don't know that.
Right now.
Maybe he has another story.
He doesn't have. He's got a J.R. Richards story. Actually, if you want to know, I've got a J.R. Richards story, which is similar to that. Oh. If you want to know the truth,
similar to what?
We can't tell that story.
No. I can. I actually can't. It was after JR was. We know JR was homeless for a while, right? Mm-hmm. He was broke. He was homeless. A female in this market, who will go nameless. She did a story with JR.
Wendy.
It wasn't Wendy. She did a story with JR, and she found. You know, she found him, and I did it under a bridge. Where he was living, and so he wanted him to tell the story and everything. Well, he had a pair of gym shorts on, and when he sat down,
I already don't like this.
Hanging out.
Yeah, we get it.
And it was uncomfortable. It was an uncomfortable situation, so they had to do a really tight shot.
Oh boy,
yeah, a close up. I have JR, its face and shoulders.
I have a similar story that doesn't involve JR Richard. It confirms everything people feel about LA. Like, I think I've told you guys, but when I was in LA, maybe a couple years ago, I was just driving around, just looking at stuff. I think it was in the Hollywood area or something like that. And there's a Chick-fil-A. I was like, oh, look, there's a Chick-fil-A. I might want to stop. Until I saw a homeless man, pants down, ass out, right in front of the Chick-fil-A going, you know what? This would be a good time to take care of myself. And I was like, yeah, I'm not getting out of the car.
Yeah, this isn't the Chick-fil-A I'm stopping at.
No.
I'm not a good morning, sir. We're cheery Chick-fil-A employees.
Oh, thank you.
How are you doing? Would you care for some lemonade or some iced tea?
And here's the joke. Like, that guy was definitely, you know, when you go to Chick-fil-A, they're like, when you say thank you, they go, oh, my pleasure. That guy, it was his pleasure.
Yeah. It was his pleasure.
Yeah.
Your pain, his pleasure.
Certainly. I was like, okay. Right. No spicy chicken sandwich today.
No, it wasn't Cindy Garza. No. So anyway, we got time for Tunsil? Yeah, we do.
No, we do.
Oh, you want Gilbert?
On the other side, yeah.
We'll do next segment. Our 20 for 20 is going to be Laramie Tunsil. And obviously from a production standpoint, I've got some advanced stats we'll get to. So we'll just get to that. And John and I will have a long-form conversation about Laramie Tunsil. Because listen, this is the Texans' best player right now. He's the best Houston Texan. Yeah. Aaron Reese had a really good article about Laramie Tunsil. Laramie's well aware of the contract he got was an outlier contract. You know, he asked for it and he got it. And the money's here, but, you know, I don't know that he expected to be in this particular situation with the team.
No, he didn't expect this.
I don't think he expected this particular situation based
on
that article.
No one expected this. Honestly, 2 years ago, you were up 24-0 in the playoffs against the Kansas City Chiefs. A year and a half ago, this was. Did you expect the Texans to be the worst team with the least talent in the NFL just a year and a half ago?
No, it was going to take. You could see that they were giving away. They were putting themselves in bad situations. It's amazing how many people now are coming back with as though they knew this whole time that this was a problematic trade for Tunsil. That was not the prevailing notion at the time. There weren't many people who had a problem with it. I had a big problem with it. But most people don't think in terms of the credit card spending of trading away draft picks. It's a big problem when you do that.
Yeah.
But to your point, no, you couldn't have seen DeAndre Hopkins for Brandon Cooks. No, because that's what it became. No, you couldn't have seen JJ for no compensation. Well, you could have seen that, but you didn't have to see that. JJ probably could have warranted a third or fourth round pick. You didn't see Jadeveon Clowney, which it happened. Well, no. I take it back. Jadeveon was gone by the time they had
Tunsil. D-Hop happened since then, and now JJ has happened. Deshaun Watson stuff has happened since then. None of this.
Because Deshaun Watson's, if you have Deshaun Watson playing for the Houston Texans, you know that you're just a couple of you're a running back and a wide receiver and smart moves on defense away from becoming a factor in the AFC again. Like, you're not that far away. You need a playmaker, a good running back, and build a core on defense. And I know that sounds like a lot, but that's the kind of stuff that happens, that can happen over a 2 to 3 year period when you have a guy like Deshaun Watson. Without Deshaun Watson, what's why the Texans are going to be an underdog in every single home game they play? Well, I'm sorry, every single game they play, at least right now. Now, as the season progresses, you know, we may see some, it may be a little bit different as the season progresses. Maybe the Texans are better than we thought. Maybe some of these teams are worse than we thought. I'm really curious. I think the Colts are too good to be a bad team. I don't think the Tennessee Titans, unless they lose Derrick Henry and more is put on the shoulders of Ryan Tannehill, I can't see a way that the Tennessee Titans could really fall off. I just I don't see that happening.
We're going to get to Laramie Tunsil on the other side here, but breaking news. I don't know if this is true, but this is on Twitter, so it must be. Our sources tell us that Carlos Correa needed the day off because his child, Joe Kelly, kept him up all night crying.
Oh, man.
Is that true?
But as well as somebody who has had a lot of kids, and you have too, and it's been a while since we've had young kids, but you know that's true too. When you hear the crying and moaning and whining and crying of a little tiny baby screaming like that, you can't get rest. And sometimes you're just not able to perform the next day. It's tough when you have little babies like a Joe Kelly type, because they can keep you up all night.
Yeah, and look, unfortunately, Carlos couldn't get to sleep until 7 in the morning when they got here.
Especially if they're fussing. The worst when those little babies fuss.
Fussy. We were kind of fussing about our backyard and our patio, which was not great. And then Jeff Aronoff came along, an absolute marble and granite, came along and fixed it up and made it put in. We had the Traeger grill, we had the electric grill, we had a refrigerator. You needed a place for garbage, and we wanted a countertop, we wanted a table that we could actually attach, that where we could eat out there at our kitchen, and it was perfect. And Jeff designed the whole thing and put it in. And it turned out that it really, really was awesome and helped us sell our house. And if you're looking for that kind of stuff for you and your home, and not only that, but indoor, outdoor, it doesn't matter to Jeff. It's marble, it's granite, it's tile, it's countertops, it's vanities, it's everything, it's cabinets, it's everything to make your home more valuable to you, more livable. And obviously, it's going to increase the value of your home, and it's really, really worth it. If you're looking for that, you can't just let your home go and not do anything. Call Absolute Marble and Granite. 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 8:45 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time for what we like to call our 20 for 20, and it involves one Laramie Tunsil.
Laramie Tunsil.
Laramie Tunsil, a Houston Texan the last couple of years here. He has started 14 games in each of the last 2 years. You've got some advanced stats for him, right?
Advanced stats.
I do have some advanced stats for one Laramie Tunsil, as a matter of fact. These come from Pro Football Focus. So first I'm going to get to the grades, because this is something that can be a little controversial in league circles, but the media uses this quite a bit. Let's talk about Laramie Tunsil, his grades, his Pro Football Focus grades. From a pass protection standpoint, they gave him a grade of 85.8, which tied him for fifth in the league at offensive tackle. That's pretty good.
That's good.
And that has always been what he's known for, his pass protection. Unfortunately, his run blocking ended up at a 61.7, which was on the lower side. Not one of the lowest in the league, but it was definitely on the lower side. And hold on a second.
type something wrong in here. There it is. So I want to bring up some of the run blocking stuff that we have access to through Pro Football Focus. 61.7 was the grade they gave him. In terms of his run blocking, he had a positive impact run blocking, 10.6% of the snaps. A defeated run block, 12.2%. More defeated blocks than successful. That's a problem. And that is something that I think has always been the concern with Laramie Tunsil from a run blocking standpoint, is he doesn't really get a tremendous amount of drive and push. I think he's a better fit for more zone scheme related run blocking, but that's not his strength, run blocking. So that's something to keep your eye on, is he's not going to be a great run blocker. But the reason he gets paid as much as he does is because he is a pretty good pass protector. Speaking of that, in terms of pressure percentage, he was 12th in the league from a tackle standpoint in pressures allowed, the percentage of pressures per pass rush. You'd like to see him get inside for the money he makes. Frankly, you'd like to see him inside the top five or six. He was 12th, but keep in mind, some of that is Deshaun Watson hangs onto the ball for a long time. So you're always going to be on a little higher side than maybe usual, depending on your quarterback, especially if you have one who hangs onto the ball. And then from total pressure standpoint, he was 11th in the league. So those are some of the stats and some of the, I guess, the advanced stats that you might be looking at for an offensive lineman, especially as it pertains to the pass protection.
Stay or go.
Or go. I was going to do it if you couldn't.
Stay or go. He's going to stay. I know people do ask this question. Why not trade Laramie Tunsil? Number one, you're going to take a cap hit if you move him. Number two, this has been a huge need. I mean, you pulled the trigger on, frankly, a very misguided trade when it came to the amount of what you were willing to trade and the inability to get his contract locked up on time. You lost all the leverage, which probably cost you another $4 million per year, frankly. I have a hard time dealing away Deshaun Watson, which is understandable, and then following up with dealing away a tackle who is one of the top five or six tackles in the league at a position that you couldn't get right once Dwayne Brown left and that ended up causing you to panic in the first place. I know he makes more than he should. I know you gave him a bad contract, but John, I just don't like the idea of saying, all right, let's trade him away, let's get a pick, and let's hope we find something that can eventually be as good as Laramie Tunsil. Tunsil's not the best tackle in the league, but he's a pretty good tackle by left tackle standards, and that's a hard position to find these days if you are not drafting it early. So, and the Texans have so many early round needs that they could use to get other positions of need and help rebuild their team. I just don't see adding another need on the fire by getting rid of your tackle. And no one's giving you two firsts for Laramie Tunsil. It's not going to happen.
No.
I'd like for him to stay here, but I do question. I do question whether or not the new regime is going to value him as much.
Yeah. In 2023, he's got zero guaranteed money. His cap number is 26.8. Your cap savings would be 18. I mean, I could certainly see 2022 being his last year here.
Well, the reason, yeah, and he's glad. He got that contract specifically so he could get to the market again.
Yeah.
This is not good for the Texans, by the way. We talk, oh, you can get out of that contract. That's bad. You're going to have to pay him again to keep him.
Well, or a team actually does something smart. You trade him away, and before you make the trade, you have him extended. And that's what another team can do.
Yeah, but
you
once
know,
again.
A smart team would do that.
But once again, you're now in a spot where you have no left tackle. We'll see if you have a right tackle, because right now Titus Howard, your first rounder, is playing tackle and guard. You have no quarterback. You like, this is a team now at all your key positions: corner, left tackle, pass rusher, and quarterback. You don't look like you have a guy.
Okay,
that's what. If you got rid of Tunsil,
listen. Like we said, he's your best player. You're on a team that's miserable. Well, they could be 4-2. We did decide that yesterday. They could be 4-2.
Yeah, after, but look at the ass kickings they'll take after that.
After that, it's going to be bad, except for the Jets game. So let me ask you this question, and I'm 4-2 maybe, but if you can get
four two is
if you can get two a second and a third for him, If you and someone would take that, forget the salary. Who cares about that? But someone would take that off you, and you get a second and a third for a guy that you know is only going to be here for a couple of years and is not part of your long-term plan. He can't be part of your long-term plan. Because, first of all, will he stay?
It's hard to get left tackle. It's hard to get good left tackles in the league. It's really hard.
Well, first of all, will he stay? Will he do it again?
For the right amount of money. But this is, once again...
What's the right amount of money? The highest paid left tackle in the league.
Once again, this is why Bill O'Brien screwed you so badly.
Well, you're done. Bill did it.
If you had three more years on the deal, I don't think we'd be talking about this. Now you're at a position where you have to talk about it.
If Bill O'Brien was a good general manager? Okay. The reality of the situation is...
Here's the reality.
Get what you can get.
Here's the reality. They probably aren't trading him. They'll let him walk eventually, and they get the third-round compensatory pick, and they'll get the most they can out of him as a left tackle. More than likely. Because that's usually what happens in NFL circles. It's kind of rare for left tackles to be dealt unless you have a situation like Trent Williams, where he wanted a new contract. He was holding out. It was an issue. You don't have that same holdout stuff anymore. The Texans ended up trading a guy who was very disgruntled over contract. Laremy Tunsil's not disgruntled over contract. He got everything he wanted and more. The Texans laid down, prostrated themselves, and he absolutely annihilated them.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. After the 2022 season, you cut him post-June 1st. You save $18 million in cap space. And your dead cap is only 8.3.
So he's under contract through 23.
Through 23.
See, I think they're going to keep him, and they'll keep rolling.
I think you get rid of him. I think you get rid of him. You get what you can. As opposed to just a compensatory pick in the third round, you can maybe get a second and a third for him.
If you don't get a first, you don't even talk about it. It's hard to find left tackles in their 20s that are top guys.
I'll take a second and a third for him.
I hope you're not ever named general manager of the
Texans.
Take
the L. Well, but
you take the L's on every deal.
But you just want a compensatory third-round pick.
No, I wanted to play.
With one more year.
No, but he's not staying around here. I didn't realize that you're talking about getting rid of him after 22. I'm not. I'm talking about let him keep playing because you need left tackle. I'm not in any hurry to get rid of your best player. I'm not in a hurry to do that.
This is the guy the previous O-line coach had to make a deal with so he could practice.
That's the problem.
That's in it.
Now, if he's not a team guy and a culture guy, then you may have to move on. You have to get more than a second rounder. It starts at a first rounder for Laremy Tunsil. And I think you would get a first rounder for him because if you dealt him now, you're under contract for 3 years. It's a no-brainer. But I'm not in favor of getting rid of a good player so that you now have to somehow hope that you evaluate and find yet another player that you have to draft. I mean, at some point, don't you want to – he's a core player. Granted, he's got a bad contract, but at some point, don't you want to have a good player on your team?
You think
they don't have any good players other than Tunsil. You think they believe – maybe Roby and Cunningham are solid?
You think they believe he's part of their future? Considering if the attitude and the issues we've been told about are real, you think –
Well, keep in mind, that was the old regime. I don't know what Nick Caserio –
This new regime's going to be about him?
I don't know what Nick Caserio. I don't know what his attitude is now. I don't know what Nick Caserio thinks of him. That was Bill O'Brien let that go. I mean, Bill O'Brien got walked over in contract negotiations. I heard the story. It's embarrassing. Bill O'Brien literally would call. Laremy would tell his friend, "Don't answer the phone. Let's make him sweat." Then they'd answer the phone. Laremy doesn't want to talk to you, and Bill's like, "What? What did I do?" And then that led to Bill giving him everything he wanted in a deal. He gave him everything. When you knew you could walk on him, of course the next thing is, well, DeAndre Hopkins doesn't want to practice. I don't want to practice. And then you have an offensive line coach making a deal with him so that they would get him to practice. I mean, now, but that also might be the old regime, and maybe he's different under a new regime. Odds are he's not. He's the same kind of guy. He probably learned it in Miami. But I just also know he's a good football player, and he gets quarterbacks protected. And if you have a quarterback in there that does get rid of the ball a little quicker than Deshaun Watson, you'll see his pass protection numbers get even better. So I'm just saying, I also hate it when baseball teams get rid of all their best players and decide to hit reset all the time. At some point, you need good baseball players, and at some point, you need good football players. The Texans have exactly one guy that I would consider a really good football player. By his position standards, they have one guy, Laremy Tunsil. I'm not looking to go to zero. I just unless you have to, I don't want to go to zero good players on a team.
Yeah. I just want to
Can you pick another one that's a really good player at his position? I think Tunsil's a really good player at his position.
Yeah.
Meaning top five players at left tackle. Laremy Tunsil is 100% in there. Can you name another player that you could say is in the top 10?
No.
I can't either.
No. No, there isn't any. Which is, you're bereft of talent, and you know what? Bring a guy in. To me, after 22, when you got 1 year left on the deal, bring a guy that's going to be part of your future as opposed to Tunsil, and get what you possibly can from him. And you know what you can get from John Clay Wolf? You can get money from him because he's giving it away. He's giving away money for your vehicle, but you got to do it soon because the car industry is changing as soon as, maybe as soon as the end of this month, right?
Yeah, that's true. It's been coming down quite a bit, but I'm tired of betting on cars, Granato. I'd like to bet on football.
Well, did you bet let's on your Cowboys last night? Because they suck.
Right. I mean, let's make some weird bets, you know. So what's the – let's just – you and I do a couple. Your quarterback stays or goes for 1,000 before the season's over?
Goes.
Goes. Okay, so I'm stays. Dak Prescott doesn't play in the first three games for 1,000.
I'll take he plays.
I think he doesn't. So I think we're sitting here pushing right now, actually. So what's the tiebreaker bet?
The tiebreaker bet is more wins, Cowboys or Texans?
I haven't looked at the Texans schedule, but
you gotta give me three wins.
Oh,
plus three for the Texans.
Bending the line. I can't give you plus three, but I'll give you plus one.
No, get out of here.
I'll give you two.
You're never going to get arrested for gambling, okay? Because that's not a bet.
I'll give you two.
No, what is the under-over on Cowboys wins this year?
Cowboys wins like 9.5.
9.5. You know what the Texans is? 4.5. You got to give me five wins.
Okay, I'll give you three. I'll give you three for 1,000. So one more bet. This is a weird one I heard at the golf course the other day. These two drunks arguing. They bet over the next 10 years, $10,000, that the Sooners win two national championships in the next 10 seasons.
Oh, I'll take that.
For $10,000.
I'll take that.
I'll take that they get it or they won't?
They won't.
Okay.
No chance. Zero chance the Sooners will win two national championships over the next 10 years. Well, I don't want to say zero chance, but you're asking a lot now. Their last national championship was 2002? What was it?
2000.
2000.
And in his point, the cycles of time go through. He said it's our time. And he's got a decent point. It's just like LSU had their time. 2 years ago, out of nowhere, you know, the best football team that ever existed, and it was their time. And it's kind of, I mean, whose time is it this, in the next 2 years, what team is turn is up for them to...
Alabama.
Surprise.
I'm going to go Alabama, okay? And you can have everybody else.
I'll take Alabama for 500, that's
right.
Gene.
That's right.
All right.
All right. That's our bets. We got it. That's John Clay Wolf. It's called GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com. Listen to him tomorrow morning right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.